All right. Kim. What? Indrena. With Indra. Iha. Here. Bhutanam. For living entities. Swaswa. Each their own. Karma. A fruit of action. Anuvartanam. Who are experiencing the consequences. Anishena. Indra, who is incapable. Anyata, otherwise. Kartum, to make. Swabhava, by their conditioned natures. Vihitam, that which is ordained. Drinam, for men. Translation, living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work, since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature. Why should people worship him? So you can repeat. Living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? And the purport by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So Lord Krishna's arrangement here is not a negation of free will. If one accepts the existence of karma as a system of laws, awarding reactions for our present activities, then we ourselves, according to our nature, will decide our future. Our happiness and distress in this life have already been adjudicated and fixed according to our previous activities. And not even the demigods can change that. They must award us the prosperity or poverty, sickness or health, happiness or distress due us by our previous work. However, we still retain the freedom to select a pious or impious mode of activity in this life, and the choice we make will determine our future suffering and enjoyment. For example, if I was pious in my last life, in this life, the demigods may award me great material wealth, but I am free to spend my riches for good or bad purposes, and my choice will determine my future life. Thus, although no one can change the karmic results due to him in this life, everyone still retains his free will by which he determines what his future situation will be. Lord Krishna's argument here is quite interesting. However, it neglects the overriding consideration that we are all eternal servants of God and must satisfy him by all that we do. I'm not going to read the Charya's commentaries because they're pretty much in line with what the commentary, ISKCON commentary is, so with the addition of the topic of free will. So actually, let me go back to the verse and read the verse again. I think that's important. All right. Kim indre neha bhutanam sva sva karmanu vartinam anishena yata kartum Subhava vihitam rinam. So Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's a very interesting topic, the topic of karma. We're going to be a very simple and basic Krishna conscious philosophy, but we're going to elaborate on something that's really important for us. So, the demigods don't change karma. It is a fact. I mean, Krishna here, of course he's trying to aggravate Indra by his statements, but this statement is actually true. The demigods don't change karma. They actually award or punish someone according to their karma, according to their activities. I mean, that's their duty. They work in the government, the Lord's government, and that's what they're supposed to do. So we're faced with this situation that appears quite frightening to us, that whatever we did in the past You can't do anything about it. That's the description in the verse. But I'm going to explain a caveat to that after I give some examples of showing how you can't do anything about it. So the example I'm going to give in the beginning is that of our friend King Riga. Some of you may have heard King Riga. Anyone's heard King Riga? No. He was the son of Ikshvaku, you know, very pious family. And being the son of Ikshvaku, he performed many pious activities, because what you get with pious activities is that you get accrue good karma. So if one's born in a wealthy family or becomes a demigod or is very intelligent or very strong, very healthy, then that's the result of good karma. You know, what you did in the past, not necessarily what you're doing now. And of course, as mentioned in this particular purport, you have a choice what you want to do with that good karma that you've been given. And you also have a choice with what you've been given with the bad karma. So you have a choice right now. However, you're stuck. So here's King Riga. He's accruing all this good karma. You know, he's really thinking, wow, I got a good future ahead of me. And what happens is he's giving all these cows away in charity, literally thousands or millions of cows away in charity, and serving the Brahmins and thinking, phew, I got it made for my future life. You know, just like someone who is working in the marketplace, but working and they're putting money in their 401k or retirement account, and someone's thinking, I got it made in the future that, you know, I'm going to just like retire at the ripe old age of 85 and enjoy life. And so, because they don't understand certain things, like, you know, talking about the modern situation, what if there's inflation and your $10 million becomes worth 10 cents, like what happened in Germany? Before World War II, people were walking around with wheelbarrows full of German marks, and basically to buy one loaf of bread. I mean, it was a hyperinflation. So anyway, so getting back to this point of King Riga. So King Riga, he was giving all this away, and then what happened is one of the Brahmin's cows happened to wander into King Riga's barn. And King Riga inadvertently gave away that cow, which belonged to another Brahmin, to a second Brahmin. And so the Brahmin has discovered this, and they had an argument. And they went to King Riga, and they accused him of stealing the cow for the Brahmin. And King Riga said, you know, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to give you, you know, 100,000 cows, or whatever the number was. I don't remember exactly. I'm going to give you all these cows. And the Brahmin said, no, it's not going to work. And they just walked away from the situation. Okay. So just a mistake. And that's the problem when you're executing pious activities. You know, you make a mistake, you're also responsible for your mistakes. And even inadvertent mistakes, you're responsible for it. Oof. So then what happens is, to make a long story short, he goes to Yamaraj after this lifetime. And Yamaraj says, basically, to sum it up, that you're all the oodles of good, pious activities you executed are really not going to negate the one little thing you did wrong. So you got to both enjoy and suffer both of the things. And you would think you can, you know, let me just counteract, you know, what's called, what, prayaschitta. Or, you know, so good karma, this is an interesting point. Good karma doesn't take away bad karma. It's not exactly like a bank account. You got two bank accounts. You got a bank account of bad karma and a bank account of good karma. And you got to deal with both bank accounts. Whew. This is frightening. So anyway, so Yamaraj says, okay, but since you're such a good guy, I'm going to give you a choice. You can suffer or enjoy first or second. You know, you got a choice. You can do your suffering first and you can do enjoyment later, or you can do enjoyment first and suffering later. And naturally, he says, let me get this suffering over with. You know, the bad karma reaction over with. So, Yamaraj arranges. It's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, just like sometimes if we are given something unpleasant and something pleasant, that if you behave yourself like you say to a child, you can go out and play. Or like when you eat a sandwich. We used to, when we ate sandwiches before, you eat the crust first before you get to the good stuff in the middle of it. Or an Oreo cookie. I don't know if any of you know what that is. So he chose that. And so, bingo, his first reaction was that he ends up as a gigantic lizard. Just made one little mistake, you know. And he apologized for it, too. That's the problem with the the karmic system. And so he's a lizard in the bottom of a well, which is not exactly the best place to be if you're a lizard. He's trapped in the bottom of a well. And then one day, Krishna's sons, headed up by Samba, who was actually quite cheeky, as they say, rambunctious. They come and they see this lizard in the well and they attach some straps to him to try to pull him out, but he's just too heavy. They can't pull him out of the well. And so then they go to their daddy, Krishna, and Krishna reaches down in the well. You know, he extends his hand somehow or other. Didn't even use straps. Because Krishna has a completely spiritual body. Satchitananda Vigraha. So he extends his hand, reaches out, and pulls it. It's a gigantic lizard. It's not just like one of your little cute little ticky-ticky lizards that you have. Your chameleons. And he pulls them out, and this lizard turns into a beautiful, you know, attractive man. And Krishna says, you know what? How'd you get here? And then the previous lizard, who's King Riga, explains, and he says, now I've actually seen you, by the mercy of the Brahmins who got angry with him, I've seen you, and then he goes, retains his spiritual identity, or regains his spiritual identity. So, that's a frightening story for us, isn't it? If we think, you know, wow, how many mistakes did I make in the past? I mean, can't think of it. And I made mistakes. You know, one time when I was young, I was throwing rocks, and by accident I hit someone in the head with a rock. By accident, you know, oh my God, am I going to have to be hit on the head with rocks in the future? Whatever. So this is something we have to think about. You have to be careful. You better be good. So anyways, what's the solution? And this is dealt with also in this sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this solution is given in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami, you know, how can people be free of these reactions? And King Riga's reaction was nothing compared to the reactions that we had, I'm using the past tense, we had coming, isn't it? I mean, those of us in the Western world, we probably ate cows before, probably ate fish before, probably ate chickens before, probably ate pigs before, probably ate, I mean, I can go through the whole list, lobsters, which Srila Prabhupada called pus. He said it's like eating pus. You crack open the bones, they have an exoskeleton. And so, you know, oh my God, what's waiting for us? And then you read the fifth canto and you hear all these interesting, if you happen to be interested in horror movies, interesting punishments that the living entities have to endure. You know, even if you stop the devotees from chanting Hare Krishna, then you get put through a sugarcane press. And I remember there was one, a devotee, actually, he used to do that. It was in Fiji. His name is Nityananda. He's now the temple president in Dallas, Texas. And previously, he was a lawyer in Fiji, and he's living near the temple. And he used to take the devotees to court to try to stop their chanting Hare Krishna. So is the sugarcane press waiting for him? And then another one of my disciples, he was living next to the temple in another place in Fiji. And his children were becoming devotees, but he hated the devotees, so in order to harass the devotees, he would take bodies of goats and hang them. He lived right next to the devotees. He would hang a body of a goat right next to the temple just to harass the devotees. So is the sugar cane press awaiting him? So this question was raised by Parikshit Maharaj. He asked Shukadeva Goswami, you know, how can we free these people from this? You know, is it that's your karma? You got to suffer, as mentioned in the verse, which is true. So Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami replied, one has to atone. But we see in the case of King Driga, the atonement or the counteraction or the good karma had nothing to do with negating the bad karma. So what's to be done? And I'm going to read some verses that actually talk about this particular subject matter and quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I printed out quite a few. And of course, you have the whole part of the sixth canto dealing with that, with the story of Ajamil. Where Ajamil, what? He was so sinful, abused his parents, you know, took their money away, got rid of his good wife, and, you know, took up with basically a low-class prostitute and whatever, performed so many sinful activities, and by chanting Krishna's name, Namabhas, meaning his son, Narayan, he actually got liberated. That's pretty good. So in this regard, there are so many statements by Srila Prabhupada, which I'm going to read, and don't have a lot of time, and actually verses that justify this, because many times people come to me and they talk about something called the Parabdha Karma. You've heard about that before? Parabdha Karma means basically the karma that you're suffering or enjoying right now. Like your body that you have is evidence of your Parabdha Karma. Present, that's present. Parabdha. There's Aparabdha, which means it hasn't yet manifest. There's Parabdha, which means mature karma. So there's discussions, and I talk to astrologers about this, and they say, you got your Parabdha karma, there's nothing you can do about it. Therefore, come to me and pay for my horoscope. Pay for me to do your horoscope so you can find out exactly what's going to happen to you in this lifetime. And so we go, we find out. We found out once that we were supposed to die when we were 55 years old, and it didn't happen. I was disappointed because I was chanting, getting ready to kick the bucket. So anyway, so here's statements, many statements in the Shastras that actually show that even by the inadvertent, what's called Namabhas chanting, Parabdha Karma's gotten rid of. And anyway, let me read those. Then one is from the 11th canto, 14th chapter, text 19. Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, and I'm not going to read the Sanskrit because we don't have a lot of time. My dear Uddhava, devotional service and relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 3rd canto, 33rd verse, verse 6. Spoken by Lord Kapiladeva. Here's another statement. And this is actually a famous verse, and I'll read the Sanskrit. Ya namadeya shavananu kirtanad, yat pravanad, yat smaranad api kvachit, svado pisadya savanaya kalpate, kuta punaste bhagavan nudarshanat. My dear Lord, even if a person born in a family of dog eaters and hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a Brahmin and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In other words, one is born in a family of dog eaters. And you might say dog eaters, that's pretty low. Well, actually, cow eaters is lower. You know, in America, we're thinking, you know, we eat cows, we don't eat dogs. But it's actually more impious to eat cows than to eat dogs, although we shouldn't eat any of them. So that means really bad karma if one's born in such a family. And then that's negated. In other words, one becomes like a Brahmin, which means good karma, or, you know, a high position in society. And then Prabhupada, this is actually Prabhupada's quotes. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to devotional service of the Lord Vishnu are immediately released from the reactions of sinful life. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes he is God's eternal servant. So you may say, okay, this is fully Krishna conscious. You may make that. But we're not fully Krishna conscious. But here, and I'm not going to read this whole paragraph because this is a really interesting statement from Srila Prabhupada. Just read part of it. The Abbas feature of bhakti is compared to twilight. Bhakti Abbas, I mean, it's like a reflection. And the accumulation of one's sinful activity is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished. Wow. So, here's a... how to get rid of your bad karma. Also gets rid of your good karma. So you may not want to do this. So, and then, of course, we have the famous verse, 1866 in the Bhagavad Gita. And I think most of the people know that verse, right? Sarva dharma parichaya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. So isn't that pretty clear? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami masucha. That if you come to me, surrender to me, then I'll free you from this pop. Pop means sin, of course. That's really important. And then here's more quotes. And here's a direct quote from Prabhupada. This is from a Nectar of Devotion class in Vrindavan. Yes, I'm replying to you. Parabdha can be changed. Krishna says, Parabdha means you were enjoying the fruits of your past activities. That, it is said in the Brahma Samhita, and here's a really important verse that justifies the point I'm making really clearly. And this is from the Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada quotes in the Brahma Samhita, famous verse. Yastvindra gopmata vendra ho sukarma bandha anurupa falabhajana matanoti. Karmani nirati kintu chavakti bhajam govinda manipurusham tamaham bhajami. So the translation is, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda who burns up to their roots all fruit of activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities of all those who walk in the path of work. So in other words, Krishna arranges for karma, but if one is a devotee, then Krishna just burns up your karma. This is the statement here. In accordance with the chain of the previous performed works, no less than the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than in that of Indra, the king of the devas. So also, Indra, whoever it is subject to the law of karma, unless they perform devotional service. And here Prabhupada comments in this particular context is, what are the effects of not chanting Nama Bas? By chanting the Nama Bas, this is for the nectar. This is for the Harinam Chintamani. By chanting Namabhas, all sinful effects are destroyed. Namabhas means just like chanting accidentally, chanting meaning something else, chanting jokingly, chanting derisively. liberated, one becomes liberated. All the effects of Kali Yuga are overcame by chanting at this stage, Namavas. All anxieties will go and peace can be attained. Evil influences of ghosts, demons, spirits, and unfavorable planets are also nullified. There goes your astrologer. Even the residents of hellish planets can achieve liberation by chanting Namavas, for Namavas destroys the effects of sinful activities already committed. Parabdha karma, there's a direct statement there. For these reasons, Namavas is even more powerful than the Vedas and all the holy places. Amazing about Krishna's name. We're talking now about Krishna's name. It surpasses all the materialistic pious activities of the Karma Kanda section. And then there's a quote, a very wonderful quote from the Jiva Dharma, where there's this direct question raised about Parabdha Karma. This is a direct question. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakura's statements. There's this person, Chudamani. Granted, there are numerous scriptural proofs, but it is imperative to draw conclusions. What is the method for removing the blemish of a birth in a base caste? Can this birth slur be abrogated in any way other than with death and thus rebirth? And, you know, this is what many Brahmins say. And actually, people said that to Prabhupada's disciples in Vrindavan. They said, you know, if you perform your serve nicely in the next life, you'll get a chance to become a Brahmin. And then Prabhupada commented, he said, when he heard this remark about that that came from the Brahmin, he told the devotee, go back to him and tell him, if you perform your devotional service nicely, in the next life you'll get a chance to join the Hare Krishna movement. So Vaishnava Das Babaji, who was previously an impersonalist, it's really a wonderful story in the Jiva Dharma, says, the misfortune of a lot, and he is expert at all the shastras. Vaishnava Das is someone who is impersonalist, studied all the shastras, became liberated, and he replies, the misfortunes of a low birth results from Parabdha Karma, sinful reactions from the activities of previous births. Such reactions are eliminated by the chanting of Harinam. And then he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, no, he doesn't quote this. There is a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, which we were talking about the story of Ajamil, 16th chapter, text 44, which also verifies this. All right. Is this my last page? Is it? Yeah. Another page. Well, I got a lot of quotes. He Bhagavan Agati Tamidam Twadarshanam Rinam Akila Papakshiaha Yanama Sachet Shavanat Bukasho Pivi Mukshate Samsarat. My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you, not to speak of seeing you personally. Merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship only once, even Chandalas, men of the lowest caste, are freed from material contamination, hearing the holy name only once. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? And just two more quotes. One is from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is one of my favorite verses. A whole bhakta swada pachito gariyanja jivagare bartate namatupyam te vastapas te jehova shashnariya brahmanucha nama granati yate. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy names, even if born in the family of dog eaters. There's the dog eaters again. Such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant your holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at all the holy places, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-7. And finally, there's another verse in the Bhagavatam from the sixth canto again, first chapter, and text 15, which is actually a key verse the Prabhupada would quote often. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam Dunvanti Kartsneya Niharam Iva Bhaskara. And there's that word Bhaskara again, which means the sun or the sunshine. And Niharam actually means like a fog, you know, the fog of karma. Only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can simply do this by discharging devotional service just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. And anyway, there's so many verses. I mean, I found like hundreds of verses. I didn't have time to recite hundreds of verses. And glorification of how devotional service is the best means of eradicating all this. And the only means, not all, of course, best means, it's the only means of eradicating all your bad karma so you don't have to suffer or enjoy your bad karma. Krishna is directly taking care of you. And of course, we'll end with one verse, which is actually one of my favorite verses about the chanting. And this is one of the key verses from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that answers Parikshit Maharaj's question. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Anghasam Mahata Makpi Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. That the best way to get rid or atone from your bad karma, sinful activities, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur, is to engage in the chanting, Sankirtanam Vishnu, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. And of course we know Lord Vishnu, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarvashaktish. He has thousands and millions and unlimited numbers of names. So whatever your favorite name, you can chant that name. You know, if Ram happens to be your worshipable deity, chant Ram's name. Nrsinga, chant Nrsingadev's name. So, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor. One chance, the holy name of the Lord. Jangan Mangala Mangasam. In this sinful world, one will overcome all of his bad karma and perform the best. Jangan Mangala Mangasam. Mahatama Pi Kauravya. There's different ways to translate that. Is that the Mahatama Pi Kauravya? Great souls, they also do this, or they say that this is the method. Vidyakantika Nishkritam, this is the best type of atonement, or Prayaschitta. And I know in many religions, they do have Prayaschitta in the religion I was brought up in. They have one day of atonement a year. In the Catholic religion, they have what? Confession? Oh, yeah, 3 weeks, Lent. Confession, yeah, confession and Lent and everything like that. Of course, fortunately, I only had one day a year which I atoned. But none of that worked unless I was chanting God's name. If I was chanting God's name in that particular religion, then it would work. But if you do it for that purpose, then it doesn't work anymore. That's the sin on what? Sinning on the strength of chanting. So it's not that you should... Like Ajamil, he was chanting Namavas, right? Because he didn't do it deliberately. He was thinking, I was so sinful, so therefore I better chant. He wasn't thinking like that. He was chanting meaning something else. But if we try to take service from the holy name, then it won't, Prabhupada said, it won't work like that. We think, I'm going to chant and go on, you know, smoking my ganja, doing whatever else. It's not going to work. Okay, you have a question? Yes, it works because they don't know. But it's not that you tell them, hey, you can go on smoking marijuana and you'll get free from all the reactions if you just chant. You say, just chant, it's all right, smoke, not so all right. But, you know, if smoking marijuana, I understand, you add this chanting to your life. But don't let them use, that's why you have that last offense in chanting, not last, the ninth offense. The ninth offense, that don't instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name of the Lord. So you have to give them instructions so they don't misuse the holy name. Just add Krishna. You don't say, hey, you get rid of all your bad karma, just chant. Okay, on that happy note... Jai Shishi Radhakalokananda, Radhakalokananda Ki Jai. We should probably throw away or fix.
Radhe. Hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Say. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Say. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Say. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Tarabrate, Pardana Vese, Hari Niskuta Brinda Vipine Se. Hari Niskuta Brinda Vipine Se. Tamo Tarabrate, Pardana Vese, Hari Niskuta Brinda Vipine Se. Hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jai. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jai. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jai. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Anuktani navashacharayke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Listen to the rhythm. Vishabhanuktani navashacharayke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Vishabhanu Jare Navashashi Leke. Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Korunam Korumai Korun Parite Shanaka Sanatana Parita Charite. Korunam Korumai Karuna Parite Janaka Sanatana Panita Charite. Korunam Korumai Karuna Parite Janaka Sanatana Panita Charite. Janaka Sanatana Panita Charite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya. Charunima Mandala Madite. Kula Charunima Mandala Madite. Kula Charunima Mandala Madite. Kula Charunima Mandala Madite. Hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya. Jaya Radha, Radha Lokananda Radha, Radha Lokananda Radha De. Jaya Radha, Radha Lokananda Radha, Radha Lokananda Radha De. Jaya Radha. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatacharya also Teta Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Sabaya Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem, say, Koho Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Gajai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopikopatna, Shyam Kun Radhakunda, Giddi Gauran Gajai, Vrindavanam Gajai, Maturidam Gajai, Jagadada Sami Gajai, Yuvanamai Gajai, Srimati Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. So the translation, O Radha, all glories unto you. All glories unto you, beloved of Madhava, object of worship for all the young girls of Gokula. You dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. You are the controller of Vrindavan, the pleasure groves of Lord Hari. You are a new moon arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. You are the friend of Lalita, and your wonderful qualities, friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna endear you to Vishakha. You're an ocean of compassion, and your divine characteristics are described by the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar. O Radha, please be merciful to me. Jai. Rupa Goswami Ki Jai. Okay, Shri Jashtika.